You know, I've heard the local small business community just loves the DLC. Why is that, Chuck?
Look, small businesses have one goal. That's to get new customers and keep current customers. But sometimes their customers are short on money. That's where we come in. Vets, doctors, dentists, apartment complexes, auto repair shops, really any small business that sells anything can send their customers to us.
And you hook their customers up with the cash they need. Brilliant. No wonder they send their customers to Dollar Loan Center.
We're also the perfect place to send your employees when they hit you up for an advance on their paycheck or a loan. We're going to treat your staff like family and eliminate that awkwardness of you having to say no.
That was Chuck, founder of Dollar Loan Center, where you can get up to $5,000 in just minutes, even if you don't have a checking account. We have over 50 locations, or you can apply over the phone or online at don'tbebroke.com.
Licensed by Nevada Financial Institutions Division. Customer must meet the normal loan qualifications. To review loan qualifications, visit us at don'tbebroke.com. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. An advisory panel of the Food and Drug Administration has recommended authorization of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine at this hour. Evan Fine, who took part in the Pfizer vaccine trial, says he was comfortable with the trial.
Nothing felt rushed, and I never felt like a guinea pig. The question that everyone asked me is, well, what happened in the long term? Are there any long-term side effects? And it's been more than 5 months now since my first shot, and I can happily report that there are none.
The public review by the FDA comes as UK regulators investigate two apparent cases of allergic reaction to the vaccine. With the recommendation of approval of the Pfizer vaccine in the United States, the FDA will consider final approval in the next few days, and the first shots could follow. Next week, the FDA will consider the approval of the Moderna vaccine. A possible stall on the COVID-19 relief bill. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's demands for a liability shield don't square with what is needed to pass a bipartisan relief bill.
There is strong bipartisan support for state and local aid. There is not the same broad bipartisan support for sweeping corporate immunity.
But McConnell says businesses and other organizations need protection against COVID-19-related lawsuits.
Now, our Democratic colleagues want to pretend they're bravely fighting big corporations, but they're really bullying small business owners and college presidents who've been pleading for these protections.
A one-week extension of a potential government shutdown appears to have sapped some urgency from those talks. Vice President Mike Pence told voters in Augusta, Georgia, that returning their U.S. Senate incumbents to Washington will help secure a GOP Senate. No candidates received a majority of votes in November, triggering the two January 5th runoffs. Mixed day on Wall Street as the Dow was down by 69 points, the Nasdaq rose 66. More at townhall.com.
I'm Dr. Baker, an ER physician. If you're having leg pain, swelling, or redness, but haven't talked to your doctor yet, don't wait. This could be deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot which could travel to your lungs and lead to a pulmonary embolism, which could cause chest pain or discomfort or difficulty breathing and be deadly. Your symptoms could mean something serious, so don't wait. Talk to a doctor right away, by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Uh-oh. You have an ugly, embarrassing fungus on your toes and don't know what to do. You've tried topical medications and they simply didn't work. You're fearful of the doctor's knife, painful laser treatments, and don't want any part of sulfur-containing oral drugs. Well, Bye Bye Fungus is your answer for fast, safe, and effective treatment of awful fungal infections. Bye Bye Fungus is based upon advanced technology that utilizes a patented combination of isoamylactate and jojoba oil. Miracle. No other topical product includes this patented combination of ingredients, which work together to quickly eradicate the fungus. Bye Bye Fungus is as easy to apply as nail polish. And for a limited time, you can receive a 20% discount by calling 1-800-258-3635 and mentioning the Kevin Wall Show. That's 1-800-258-3635. Or visit us at byebyefungus.com and enter the discount code WALL.
It's 304. This KMCQ News Flash is powered by Mr. Law, your authority for divorce, personal injury, and probate. I'm Jim Dallas. Earlier this morning, a botched truck hit a vehicle following about 20 bicyclists. That incident turned deadly, killing at least five and injuring four on U.S. 95 near Searchlight. The Review Journal is reporting that it was an informal ride to celebrate one of the bicyclists' retirement. According to the Nevada Highway Patrol, U.S. 95 will be closed just north of Searchlight until 6 p.m. for investigation and cleanup efforts. Nevada's 2020 high school graduation rate dropped 1.5 percentage points from a record 84.1% in 2019 to 82.6% this year. Clark County, the state's largest public school district and the fifth largest in the United States, saw a decline by some 2.6%. Disruptions surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic, which saw schools closing abruptly in March, likely played a role in that downturn. North Las Vegas is helping to ease the financial burden of the COVID-19 crisis on some local businesses. The city is using $750,000 in federal coronavirus money to help small businesses, companies with fewer than 100 employees. The city is offering grants. You can apply for one. For more information, go to NLVcares.com.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Look for some heavy volumes on the Southern Beltway, 215 west of Valley Verde. Some congestion there. Interstate 15 northbound, that's just south of U.S. 95. And reduced speeds 15 south at Sahara. And remember the road closure till 6 p.m. That's U.S. 95 southbound, south of Boulder City.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. Good to have you with us. The Thursday, December 10th edition of Live and Local. Good to have you with us. As we wrestle with who will be president on January 20th, the one thing we do know is that if Joe Biden becomes president, he will maybe in the first day, certainly in the first 100 days, try to roll back a lot of the gains made by President Trump. The one area where that might not be true is in the area of criminal justice reform, because the president was instrumental in bringing together criminal justice reform. And one a great piece today in the American Spectator that says that while there have been giant strides in criminal justice reform, there is still plenty of work to be done, and those successes will continue to be rewarded with public support. Joining us now, Patrick Plain of the American Conservative Union. One of his colleagues wrote that column. And Patrick, first of all, thanks for taking some time out of your schedule to join us. Really good to have you on.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin, and thank you for lending some light to this issue. That is something that, as you mentioned, the president was instrumental in supporting, and you know, it's really something that he started to change the narrative on that, that we're seeing kind of take place and continue rolling in the States, which we're really excited to see.
Patrick, tell me about the piece in American Spectator, which was pretty illustrative of what we've been talking about on this criminal justice reform thing.
Sure. So, and the title of the piece really gives everything away. It's titled Justice Reform and Neighborhood Safety, the Winning Combination. And that's how we see justice reform, and that's how we talk about justice reform at the American Conservative Union. You know, we get a lot of interesting eyes when people hear criminal justice reform in the same sentence of American Conservative Union, because it's not really a match that has historically been kind of there. But when we pull back and look at what we believe in, as conservatives, as folks that believe in small government and individual liberty, you know, our principles are really rooted in, you know, fiscal accountability is critical. Accountability for the government and for individuals is critical. And the fact that human dignity still needs to be a part of things that are happening. And when we look at those principles that we believe in and that we guide ourselves in, we think it lines up perfectly with the criminal justice reform. And when we see kind of what the president did and the approach that he took, he nailed it on the head, because it's something that, you know, we need public safety. Public safety is always going to be the number one goal that we're looking for through these reforms. But you can also do these reforms, increase public safety, while at the same time reducing costs, keeping more families together, and really finding that balance that keeps our community safe without giving the government too much power over us to say every little thing here and there is a crime that's going to send you to prison. That doesn't help us. And, you know, not enough criminal justice helps us. And it gets to the point where, you know, we're not holding anybody accountable. So finding that balance is critical. And that's, you know, what we were happy to see the president find in the First Step Act. And now we're seeing states kind of take those approaches too, realizing that the pendulum had swung too far the other way, and now we need to start bringing it back.
Again, Patrick Plain joining us, policy analyst with the American Conservative Union. Was I giving Joe Biden too much credit that he's going to roll back a whole bunch of what Donald Trump did as president if he is inaugurated on the 20th of January? But is it a safe assumption that he'll keep most of these justice reform measures, criminal justice reform, and not do anything stupid?
Well, I don't know if he even knows. Who knows if he even knows what he's planning on doing. But what I will say is the First Step Act was something that it was not just kind of one year that President Trump came in and got it done. I mean, it was something that had a lot of talk that was happening throughout the years. And he just found the way to talk about it, to get both sides involved, and to make it something that was palatable on both sides and that actually moved the needle. You know, where we go next, who knows? I don't think they're going to necessarily roll back some of these things that happened in First Step. There's definitely going to be a calling from folks on the left wing of Biden's party that, you know, we need to go farther, we need to do more. And, you know, that there's definitely things that need to be done, but, you know, as with every policy issue, if you try and pull something a little too far, you're not going to get anywhere. And that's where we see kind of taking the measured approach that has the data to back it, and that we kind of have a better understanding, as opposed to, you know, throwing something out there and saying, let's see how this works. So, you know, that's kind of a long way of saying, I think at this point, the states really are where we're going to look, because the states have kind of the blueprint of what does at least conservative, red states at least have the blueprint of what does conservative criminal justice reform look like that can expand your base without losing your base. And that's kind of what the president did. And that's what we saw as the result of the election that he was able to do, especially with minority communities.
So give me an example of something maybe that has not yet been done in criminal justice reform that could be done and that would be palatable to conservatives.
Sure. So and what we're seeing now is kind of the trends of where criminal justice reform is going. A lot of people are starting to look at the community correction system, so you have probation and parole. There are millions of people in jail and prison today who are in on technical violations, technical revocations. Meaning they didn't commit a new crime, they were just out on supervision and, you know, maybe they were late to a meeting or they went across county lines when they weren't supposed to or didn't check in at the right time and all of a sudden they're back in prison. I don't know about you, but I've been late to more meetings than I'd like, and if they sent me to prison, you know, I don't know if that would really help me out. And kind of looking at, you know, that approach of what do we do when folks, you know, have little mistakes, that's not necessarily crime. Is it worth it for us to spend, you know, X amount of dollars to put them back in prison for a year? You know, in a lot of states, that's $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, up to $60,000. And we have to understand when we're doing that, too, we're taking them out of or off of a track that you know, potentially they could have been doing great. They could have had a job. They could have been supporting their family. They could have been paying their taxes again. But now we're going to take everything away for a little mistake. And I think kind of looking at that and figuring out, you know, what's the accurate response when somebody makes these mistakes? It doesn't always need to be a trip straight back to jail. Sometimes it could be, you know, you go to jail for the weekend. So you don't lose your job, but you're still held accountable in some way. So a lot of, I think, what states especially are doing, considering, you know, the budget crisis that a lot of states are in, is looking how to retool that, rebalance that to make sure the appropriate response is being given for especially kind of the lower level, smaller things that, you know, you're not hurting somebody, but we're just a little mad at a knucklehead decision you made.
And just to reinforce, a lot of these ideas that could be done either at the federal level or the state level are not things that cost money. In the COVID-19 era, budgets are tight everywhere. The federal, you know, the federal government can print more money, but their budgets are still tight. And the same thing at the state level, where they've got to balance their budget. Are most of these things that don't cost a lot of money?
Yeah, I mean, most of the things will end up saving money, which is hard for people to understand that we could spend less money and still be safer. Because, I mean, I think most people would agree that you'll pay for your safety. If you have to pay a little bit more money to make sure people aren't breaking into your homes or, you know, you're safe when you're dropping your kids off at school, people will pay for that. But what we've seen is that's not the case. You know, when you spend too much money and you intervene in too many places, you end up creating a bigger problem for yourself. And we've seen, I mean, Texas is the best example. Nobody's ever going to call Texas, you know, soft on crime. 10 years ago, when Governor Rick Perry was then governor of Texas, his legislature came to him and said, you know, Governor, we need to harden up on these criminals. We need to spend $2 billion to build some more prisons so we can lock all these people up and make sure, you know, they learn their lesson. And Rick Perry said, no, I'm not spending $2 billion to build more prisons. We need to find out a different way to approach this. Legislators got back to work, figured out different ways to slow people coming in and speed people getting out on the back end that didn't need to be there anymore. Lo and behold, they've closed almost 10 prisons up to this point, didn't spend that $2 billion, saved hundreds of millions of dollars, and their crime level right now is, I think, the same as it was in, like, 1968. So the thought that you have to spend money to be safer or, you know, pulling back spending is going to make you less safe is something that just, it's not true anymore.
Again, policy analyst with the American Conservative Union, Patrick Plain, joining us. I know a lot of people on the left have talked about criminal justice reform in the form of defunding the police. That is something that certainly conservatives cannot embrace. Everybody wants public safety. I'm curious, is police reform a part of it, though?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question. I think, you know, most people, most Americans have seen what's gone on the last 6 months and see that there are some issues. There's the justice system isn't perfect and needs reform. Obviously, and we've heard from Democrat leadership, too, that the defund the police, that whole kind of slogan and push probably cost them seats that they could have flipped. So obviously we know that didn't work, and we knew kind of that was never going to push. People, again, want to be safe. They need to feel that they're safe. And, you know, for a lot of people, the law enforcement presence will make them feel safe. But there are things that we've seen kind of go a little too far. You know, there's issues of qualified immunity, not necessarily saying we need to totally get rid of it, but at some point you need to be able to hold government actors accountable for things that they do that is just blatantly wrong. Abusing power is not what the government's there for, is not safe for police officers or the communities they serve. I mean, we need to have faith in our police officers. We need to trust them, and they need to, you know, be trusted by the communities they serve, and that's what makes them effective. And when we lose that, that's when it becomes dangerous. So it's definitely something that's being talked about. I know Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina had a bill that he was looking to do some things that were, again, it was going to move the needle, but it's the incremental change so you don't kind of get out ahead of the tips of your skis. And you make sure that you're doing things that have been experimented in other places, that have been shown to work, that there's data that backs it up. And, you know, I think we're going to start seeing some things that make some small tweaks. But again, you know, going all the way to the defund the police helps nothing.
Patrick Plain joining us from the American Conservative Union. Look in your crystal ball if you can, whether this is at the state level or the federal level, of what is still left to be done and what you think is achievable, knowing that
It is probable that the Republicans will hold the Senate. All that and knowing the changes that have happened in the House, tell me what's doable.
Ooh, that's a fun question. I think another thing, so along with the community corrections, which I think is going to be a big thing in the state, just in states because of what you mentioned with balanced budgets and the cost driver that community corrections is for state budgets, I think that's a big thing to look at. And then I think for state and federal both, clean slate is a new thing that has kind of been, I don't want to say sweeping the nation, but starting to sweep the nation. And it's really a process of expunging criminal records for folks who have made mistakes far back in their past. And it's folks that once they have served their time, paid their debt to society, have come back out, have gotten on that straight and narrow path that we want them to be on. After a certain time, if they fall into, you know, X, Y, and Z category that, you know, somebody that has shown they've made this turn, they should be able to have their record cleared. Because we know that having that record, you know, no matter kind of where you are at after that, if you have that record, there's tens of thousands of state and federal laws and regulations that prevent you from doing all sorts of things. That could be anything from finding housing, getting different jobs, coaching your kids' AAU team, having your Second Amendment rights restored, all sorts of collateral consequences that I think legislators are really starting to realize is harming, you know, not just families and communities, but harming the economy too. I mean, if you're locking people out of jobs that they're qualified for and they want to work, because of, you know, a 10, 20, 30-year-old conviction for writing a bad check or, you know, some lower kind of level, non-harmful, non-violent offense, those people should have a second chance and be able to get out from under the weight of the government when they've proven they've turned that corner. So I think that's something that, again, it has a fiscal impact, doesn't really cost much money on the front end, but really works to kind of make the system whole. Make it kind of work front to back and make it so you can incentivize people to do what we want them to do, to stay on that right path, knowing that, you know, something for them is waiting on the other side.
Hey, Patrick, how can folks find out what you're doing at the American Conservative Union? You do so much really good work there. How can folks hook up with you?
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, we're all over. We also host CPAC, which is our big kind of conference that we just announced we're going to do in person in Florida this year, which we usually do right across the river in Maryland, right across from D.C. But we announced we're doing that in Florida this year, so we're super excited about that opportunity. You can also find us on Twitter, ACU Conservative. And then all our criminal justice stuff is run through our website here, which is conservativejusticereform.org. And we're active at the federal level as well as many, many states across the country looking to kind of push these public safety and government accountability type reforms that are really good for our communities.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how the next 4 years unfold, and in particular when it comes to the criminal justice system and criminal justice reform. Patrick, thanks so much for spending some time with us, and I know we'll talk again soon. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kevin.
Patrick Plein, spelled P-L-E-I-N, by the way, if you were wondering, P-L-E-I-N from the American Conservative Union, the folks that give you CPAC. Stick around, more to do as we continue. I want to remind you that this hour of Live and Local, brought to you by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today. Call 855-58-LIBERTY, that's 855-58-LIBERTY, or check it out online on your smartphone at libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue. My name is Kevin Wall. So good to have you with us on this Thursday edition on AM 670 KMZQ.
New schedule, same great shows. Mike Gallagher wakes you up weekday morning 6 to 9. Heidi Harris engages you from 9 to noon. And hear the next big thing with Charlie Kirk, noon to 2. AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Are you a small business owner? Would you like to turn your social media into an important profit center? Hey, Kevin Wall here, the owner of Battleborn Radio and a longtime client of the SKC Group. The pros at the SKC Group built our corporate website, then they updated that website to make it even more productive. The SKC Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of businesses. Locally owned and operated, the SKC Group provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design projects, or an engaging mobile-friendly website. What do I like most about the SKC Group? They showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. And who doesn't want more profit? Let the pros at the SKC Group help you and your business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Make that call right now.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
There's a reason certified pre-owned Land Rovers enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Land Rovers. With 100,000 mile and up to 7 years coverage, certified pre-owned Land Rovers still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on your next adventure. Come find your certified pre-owned vehicle today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas at our new location, 6425 Roy Horn Way, on the south side of the 215, just west of Jones.
I hate Christmas shopping, dealing with surly clerks, crowded brick-and-mortar stores, and how do you make sure you purchase just the right gift? Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's where my friends at Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn come in. You can send friends and family delicious Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn in one of 19 flavors. If you own a business, Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn can put your brand on every bag. It's a great icebreaker for businesses that rely on sales and marketing. I mean, everybody loves popcorn. Just in time for the holidays, send a great-tasting gift to friends, family, and business associates. Personalize your gift with a family picture or corporate logo right on the bag. And get this, take 20% off your purchase by using the promo code KevinWall2020. That's the promo code KevinWall2020. Order right now at sendpopcorngifts.com. That's sendpopcorngifts.com. Check out Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn.
For weeks now, you've heard me talking about the December 7th deadline for enrollment of your Medicare plan. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Well, the deadline has come and gone, but for some of you, there may be an opportunity to enroll in a plan until December 31st. To find out if you qualify for this late enrollment, call my friends Steve and Amy Miller at Blue Sky Insurance. If you're turning 65 in the next 4 months, you need to talk to Steve and Amy Miller at Blue Sky Insurance. If you've lost your employer-based coverage, or maybe you're contemplating retirement, you need to speak with Steve and Amy Miller at Blue Sky Insurance. And the consultation is absolutely free. It won't cost you a dime. I've been a client of Blue Sky Insurance for 3+ years. Their customer service has been absolutely incredible. They can do the same thing for you. Just call Blue Sky Insurance, 702-410-8020. That's 702-410-8020. 702-410-8020. Or check them out online at blueskylv.com.
It's all about Las Vegas. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
The battle for the Trump presidency continues. Let me give you the latest as I know it. The parties in the Texas versus 17 different states is continuing. They both parties had until noon Pacific to submit written briefs, and at that point, the court will. Start making some decisions as to what to do with this, if they want to do anything with it. This is one of those things where they almost have to do something. The question is it going to be in favor of the president or of Joe Biden? We'll find out. In one of the other races, so to speak, or court actions, Pennsylvania. And everybody said, well, Pennsylvania's dead, Pennsylvania's dead. Well, it's not necessarily dead. And in fact, Mike Kelly, one of the litigants, was on Newsmax last night with Greg Kelly and explains exactly how this lawsuit is still alive. This is cut one. Mike Kelly, a congressman from Pennsylvania.
I've had so many people, and I have a lot of friends tell me, oh my gosh,
we lost. It's no. All that happened is we were not granted a temporary injunction relief. That's all that happened. Our case is still alive and well, and we are looking at a way to, how do we get the court to take on the case for its merits of being constitutional or unconstitutional? That's all we're looking at, and that's a huge ask, by the way, but we are in the midst of a constitutional crisis right now in our country, and we have to get answers, and we have to get it from the highest court in the land.
And by the way, it's not as complicated as I think some of the media pretend it is. Maybe they don't know any better, but let me just go through it and let's just see. I'm going to try to boil it down. The Constitution of Pennsylvania says you can vote in two ways, in person or with absentee with an excuse. You know, I'm in the military, I'm in Germany, whatever, right? That's a fact, correct?
Yes.